This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Wisconsin's unemployment rate is almost at the state's record low, coming in at 3.1% in May. But while workers may be having an easier time finding employment, a recent survey from the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce found employers are having a harder time finding enough workers. The business group recently reported that 77% of surveyed business executives said they had trouble finding workers, and almost half said labor availability was their company's top concern. Joining us to talk about what this shortage of labor means for the state's economic future are Kathleen Olson, Western District Director for Wisconsin Job Service, a program through the Department of Workforce Development, Vicki Markison, Executive Director of the La Crosse Area Chamber of Commerce, and Roger Stanford, the new president of Western Technical College in La Crosse. And Vicki, can you just give us a sense, you know, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce found, you know, 77% of the surveyed business executives said they had trouble finding workers. Would you say that is, you know, maybe a similar situation here in La Crosse? Kind of what's the temperature like as far as, you know, availability of labor?
So I think that percentage is low for our area. Of all of the businesses that I talk to, I think I can name two, literally two, that have said workforce is not an issue for them. So I think in our area, it is probably in the upper 90 percentile of businesses that are struggling. One thing to keep in mind is La Crosse County has the second lowest unemployment rate to Dane County, and you have to factor in all of those government jobs and all those education jobs. And so we have that basically equates to we have the second most challenging job market in the entire state, and the state is low.
And Kathleen, you know, from the Department of Workforce Development's perspective, you know, can you talk a little bit about kind of what is the state of things across the state when it comes to, you know, availability of workers?
Well, certainly we are seeing some shortages currently, as well as projected shortages in areas of agriculture, hospitality and tourism, transportation, manufacturing, skilled trades, healthcare, especially nursing. I guess the list could probably go on. So we're definitely seeing that across the board, businesses are concerned about the aging workforce and the availability of skilled labor to fill vacancies in the future.
Right. And is this a situation of not having enough workers, or is it not having the right workers, the people with the right kind of training for the jobs we have available? Or maybe it's kind of both.
I think it's a combination of both, that we're seeing that the demographics show that our workforce is aging in Wisconsin. Birth rates are relatively low. And so it's a problem of having enough workers coming in through the pipeline, but also there are times when there are gaps in the skills that existing workers possess. Workers who are leaving industries that are shifting or changing may not have all of the up-to-date skills that are needed for the jobs of today and tomorrow.
Roger, from your perspective from Western Technical College, you know, what fields are we seeing here locally that people are really, you know, looking to get into because of job opportunities, or that employers are kind of looking to fill?
Yeah, I think Kathleen was right on as far as the sectors she was talking about and where the struggles are. So we're a provider of skills and training, and so we don't necessarily have a problem in some areas filling the program. For us, it's about getting enough to graduate and to finish, to help finish those jobs and where they're at. But if we talk overall, I think it continues to be transportation, IT, manufacturing, healthcare, being able to serve enough people in a field that's full and a difficult place to grow and build those areas. I think the unfortunate piece at the technical college today is we have seats available and open, but we're actually competing with the people we're trying to serve, being the business people. So if you went back, say, 2 years ago, all we talked about was skill shortage, and that was clear in evidence. Right now, it's skill shortage layered with worker shortage, and so I've gone from I can't get enough people that have skills to I can't get enough people to just staff a production line. or to even and do that. So we've got a lot of economic opportunity in our region, but they're turning down work, they're turning down growth opportunities because of it. And so it's a broad problem in there, but we have capacity in many of the programs that we have. Some of the traditional always full wait list things near nursing and those continue, but there's just a lot of opportunity, and I'd love to fill every one of them because that's one of our ways to help our employers.
Can you talk more about, you know, that kind of tension also prevents students from maybe signing up for classes? Maybe they just want to get paid now rather than investing in the education for a different skilled job.
Sure, and I can't blame a student that chooses to work versus go to school. They may be choosing an underemployed position for what their capabilities are and or could be. And so I also understand why an employer would want to recruit and to take somebody out of that situation. We are actually a little bit up in new applications, which is a good thing. Where we struggle is once they're in for a semester, even though they're having a good experience, a good learning experience, and that first year is getting them to commit to the second year of their associate degree when they're working. So now they've got the employer relationship and the connection they may have started, and that employer is so desperate for hours that saying, you know, I know you only wanted 18 hours part-time while you're in. I can pay you a little bit more if you'll take full-time or 30 hours. And I understand the yin and yang challenge for the student to consider that. And so staying and remaining at that level is maybe our biggest problem. And I can't blame employers. I do believe, though, if they wait and get them to the skill level and let us finish with them, that would be the best thing for them. But it's really hard if you have an order to fill and work to be done and you just don't have a body to cover it. That's the challenge I think we're running into right now, is getting the completers at the level that the employers need for the skilled piece, because they're working on, I'm just a worker shortage.
Vicki, how do you think we kind of got into the situation here in La Crosse of, you know, having a lot of positions to fill and maybe not having enough workers to fill them?
Well, I give the analogy of an Oreo cookie, but with really big cookies on the outside, right? So you have the baby boomer generation, which is very large. You have Gen X, which is small comparatively, and then you have the millennials, which are another big generation coming up. And the difficulty that we're having right now is there are enough millennials to fill the space that the baby boomers who are rapidly retiring can fill. However, it's a timing issue. So we have baby boomers retiring faster than we can bring the millennials into the workforce. And so we are probably extremely tight right now. And hopefully in a couple of years, we go, what do we do with all these millennials? But we're not there yet, and it's extremely painful. And then, of course, a sign of success is a growing economy. So, and job creation is usually seen as a success factor of that. So as we're trying to create more jobs, it's a challenge if you just don't have enough bodies to fill them. And so a lot of our businesses are having to get very creative in terms of how they fill positions that used to be filled by bodies. I was just at the movie theater 2 days ago, and it's now you're going to go to a kiosk and get your tickets. You're not going to purchase those from a person who's sitting there, and you can buy them on your phone. And so businesses are getting very creative of how technology can be utilized, and it's not a loss of jobs that technology is creating. It's a shifting of jobs to the areas where they're short. I have yet to hear from a company that says we're using technology to reduce our employment count. It's to maintain or grow in areas that technology can't do.
Yeah, and Kathleen, you know, from the Department of Workforce Development's perspective, you know, kind of what brought us to this situation that we're in, where we maybe don't have enough skilled workers to fill the jobs that are available in our state?
Gosh, I think really some of the things that, you know, Vicki and Roger were commenting on really address that question quite well. I think that, you know, we have a very good workforce here in Wisconsin. Our labor force participation rate is 68.8%. It outpaces the national rate of 62.7%. Our unemployment rate is very low. We have good educational institutions and great workers here in Wisconsin. But again, I think that jobs are growing. The economy is growing. We're seeing those baby boomers starting to retire. year. And as Vicki mentioned, the upcoming millennial generation is just not quite ready to fill those positions. And then, you know, we can't discount the impact of the global economy and changes in business that require lifelong learners and workers to be able to continue to develop new skills in order to be able to meet the needs of business. And that's where, you know, often our technical college programs and the career pathways and career ladder types of opportunities can provide a great way for individuals to both be able to work and to be able to enhance their skills. The Department of Workforce Development also helps to stimulate some of that training through the Wisconsin Fast Forward program, which offers the opportunity for businesses and educational institutions to partner with the state on grants to develop customized, demand-driven training for both incumbent and new workers. So again, I think there is a timing issue. I think that the problem is also reflective of some very strong growth and opportunities that we have in Wisconsin, and I think that there are a number of strategies that we're all working on to try to help address those concerns.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about how Wisconsin government, business, and education leaders are working to address a shortage of skilled workers in the region and the state. We are here with Kathleen Olson from the Department of Workforce Development, Vicki Markison from the La Crosse Area Chamber of Commerce, and Roger Stanford from Western Technical College. And we were just talking about how, you know, an aging population, the kind of the baby boomer generation beginning to retire is, you know, really impacting kind of the availability of labor in the state. But, you know, Kathleen, I wonder if there are also concerns about, you know, people bringing people to the state. Are we bringing enough workers to the state in relation to the, you know, labor that is leaving the state?
Well, certainly that's an area that we're looking at as well. How do we attract more workers? How do we retain the talent that comes to our state, especially to take advantage of higher education and the excellence that we have in those areas, and you know, and prevent individuals from leaving once they've gotten their education and so forth. So again, I'm a Wisconsin native, and quite frankly, I think that Wisconsin is one of the best places to live and to work. We have just wonderful natural resources, great growing economy. It's a good place to be, and I think that we maybe need to market that more with individuals. I think that we need to make sure that we continue to build upon and expand the things that make our state so strong.
Vicki, I wonder what your thoughts are on this idea of, you know, are we bringing enough people to the state to live here and work here in relation to the amount of people who are maybe leaving or moving away?
Yeah, obviously talent recruitment is a hot topic with our businesses right now. It's very interesting to see some companies that have been linchpins and magnets for employment in our community. You know, Kaplan is the latest to say, okay, we need to actually brand ourselves within the chamber is what we're seeing, because we need to attract more workforce to Kaplan. And so you start to see some interesting strategies. The recruitment areas that I hear are IT, engineering, accounting, and architecture. And the strategies that I hear from those businesses are, we need to find the people that grew up here, that went away to college, because in a lot of those cases, we don't have those programs locally, and then we need to recruit them back. And obviously, it's a very natural time for people to come back when they start growing their families and they want to be near other relatives. And so one of the strategies being discussed is, how do we reattract the people that grew up here that love this area to try to meet our workforce needs? Because what's happening now is in those in-demand areas, areas where we don't have programs locally, our businesses are going and competing with other companies that need those same graduates, and a lot of times we're not winning in that competition, if you will, for those graduates. And so we need to be working as a community to better brand our area to recruit talent.
Is that a situation of kind of marketing the maybe like amenities that come with living in La Crosse, you know, the beautiful scenery, mm-hmm. the wonderful schools we have here, you know, that sort of thing? Or is it a matter of making sure our wages are competitive?
I think it's everything. I think La Crosse has been, the greater La Crosse area has prided itself on being a hidden gem for so long of, oh, look at how beautiful our area is, that we haven't been projecting the true beauty of our area. And I have Roger sitting right next to me. I want to give kudos to their innovation, their conversations with Viterbo on creating an engineering program. I mean, that's what we need to see happen of. Let's not make our businesses go out and compete outside of our area. Let's start to meet those needs within. Those are the type of solutions that will really be helpful for our companies as well.
Yeah, Roger, I wonder what your thoughts are on, retention. You mentioned kind of Western, Technical College looking at this issue of, retaining people within your programs. But, I wonder what you guys are looking at as far as retaining people who, go to, college, they get their training, and then, keeping them here in our community.
Yeah, I think there's two sides of retention that a college has to consider. One is the abilities. Am I strong enough in mathematics? Can I write? Can I speak? Can I communicate? And those are critical elements that often catch students along the way. And so that's something that we're pretty good at, and the colleges have grown across the country and trying to provide services, and we are, I feel very strongly about what we are doing and where we're going with it's good to ask for help and that type of philosophy. I think the second piece you're asking about is, do I just stay when I have to either feed my family? Do I stay when there's just opportunity that takes me to $15 an hour? I think I could live on that, and there's a job right now. If I stay all the way to the program, I could get to $26 an hour. But right now, $15 an hour sounds really well. That's the hardest one for us to lose. They're not having a bad experience. They're not disappointed in their educational experience. They have all of the ability. And so our network and our opportunity there is to just solidify the relationships with their instructors and have those conversations that are, the finish line is really the best line for you. This is the best thing for you. I will say the other strategy tied directly in is every program that we have has a clear advisory committee. And the advisory committee conversations used to be, and these are filled with industry people, used to be on what we're teaching. That's where it was for a long time. Now it's still kind of that way, but now those advisory committees are, how can we keep people in here? How can we get them more exposure to my workplace? How can we get more internship type behavior? They've changed all those conversations, and we're intentionally changing those conversations to say, if the exposure to an employee starts as part of the educational process, would I be willing to stick out the process because I can earn a living and go? Personally, I have a philosophy that says take more credits, get done sooner, and get out in the workforce, where I think a lot of times in the past at colleges we've said, oh, you're working, you got a child, a family, a spouse, and why don't you just take 3 or 6? But the truth is, for a two-year degree, if they get over 3 years, we lose completions. If they get over 4, they're not going to finish. So if they would borrow more, which they have opportunities for student loans and grants, and get to the completion, we're better. So I think we have to reframe our conversation, our advising model, really surround the people with a great message that completion is your greatest pathway to a livelihood that's pretty incredible and wonderful in this region. I think that's something that we can be better at. I think we were taking for what they had right now, and we'd help you because you only want to be part-time. I think we have to say you really should get closer to full-time. We'll give you the connections to the employer now. And you know what? When you finish, then you've got that $26 an hour that'll lead to $50 an hour in 5 years.
Once a student finishes their training or their degree, are you finding that most graduates stay in the La Crosse area to work? Or is there an issue of people, getting their education and eventually, moving elsewhere?
Yeah, I think that's always the risk. It is part of our mission, though, is to serve our region. So we're proud that we're close to 70% of our graduates that stay in the region. That is the tie to the technical education. That is one of the true benefits for our employers is they are coming here, and they generally will stay here. We are pretty close as a border town. We do have some folks that travel across the state line and will move because there's opportunities relatively close to us in Winona and to Rochester. You know, but we can keep a lot of people across our entire western region. The example that you gave, Vicki, about engineering. Mm-hmm. We have great pathways to Milwaukee School of Engineering. It's amazing. To UW-Platteville, and they're wonderful colleges. But the students go down there with the intention of moving home, and they get down there and they get embedded, and then the recruitment is you know, 400 employers show up at their recruiting fairs. They can go anywhere they want in the world. And so the idea with Viterbo is, how do we build it here, give them the exposure here, two-year technical, two-year to engineering? Will they stay in this region? And our partners are so elated that we're exploring it. Now, it's a complicated venture. It's got some challenges. We're working very closely on it, but I really believe we want to open fall next year. But the idea is, let's not give them the taste of, La Crosse is beautiful, and they know they want it when they start. Let's give it to them and keep them right here.
That's Roger Stanford, the new president of Western Technical College here in La Crosse, here with us today to talk about how businesses and communities are being impacted by a shrinking workforce. Also joining us is Vicki Markison from the La Crosse Area Chamber of Commerce and Kathleen Olson from the Department of Workforce Development. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And Kathleen, you know, how do you think Wisconsin compares to some of its neighbors when it comes to this situation of, you know, having a shortage of skilled workers?
Well, I'm not an economist, and I don't have all of the data in front of me as far as the numbers, but I do think that certainly this is not a problem that Wisconsin faces alone. We're seeing that really across the nation and within the region that there are concerns about the worker shortage and about ensuring that the workers of our future have the necessary education and skills to be able to be successful and to allow our businesses to continue to grow and to thrive. And so I think it's not a problem that we face alone. And of course, that puts a little more pressure on us as well, because other states and other regions are also competing for the great talent that we have here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Vicki, as you know, La Crosse is kind of on the border here and pretty near, you know, near Minnesota, obviously, and also kind of near Iowa. You know, what are your thoughts on how we're doing as compared to our neighbors?
You know, you had asked me earlier about wages. What we're experiencing, we of course notoriously have lower wages, which makes it very favorable for businesses to locate here. But if you can't get the labor, that's a challenge. So we are seeing wages increase, and I think that will help us in terms of attraction and retention of talent. We certainly have a ways to go, but there's a ripple effect to that as well. So in order for wages to increase, that usually means products and services have to increase as well. So cost of living starts to rise. And so there's that ripple effect of if you want to earn more wages, your cost of living may not be as notorious low as well as what we have experienced. But I think the thing that can't be missed in this is the industries that tend to have a shortage, that's where you see the wages start to rise. And one of those are the trades. So you talk to commercial contractors, residential contractors, they are just the HVAC, heating, ventilating, air conditioning, they are just hurting for people to come into the trades. And some of that is the long-term effects of a four-year degree being seen as success. And so parents in this day and age would be really wise to start having conversations with their kids about what else they could go into that isn't a four-year degree, that has the debt of a four-year degree, because the wages, some of the wages that I have seen in the trades are higher than things with four-year degrees. So there's kind of a cultural shift that we have to make as well in terms of it's supply and demand. And if you want your child to be successful and earn a great living, you have to be thinking beyond four-year degrees. And that's how you will make them extremely adaptive, if you will, to some of the discussions. One of the discussions that I've heard talked about is the American dream. It will be harder for children now to earn more than their parents, in part because education used to be the biggest launch pad beyond where your parents were. And so there's discussion of how do we redefine what the American dream is, because it may not be earning more than your parents did, which is really difficult for people to hear.
Roger, I wonder what your thoughts are on this issue of, you know, kind of the cultural shift that Vicky's talking about of, you know, not focusing so much on going and getting that traditional four-year degree from a university and, you know, pursuing other career paths.
I think from a, you look at a reputation standby of a two-year, the reputation of a two-year, a four-year, a five-year, or a master's degree, a doctorate. You know, we have gone through generations of saying 4 years the dream. I was a high school teacher many, many years ago for 10 years, and I worked in career and technical education, and I watched it just go right past us constantly. All the messages, all the counselors, even our administrator, our principal, our superintendent, it was all the four-year. And, you know, we knew some of that was coming. Now, I've gone the traditional routes myself, but I do have a two-year degree as a basis. And I think that the point that you brought up is exactly correct. If we can change the messaging to say this is a noble career field, we have students that are out 2 and 3 years that are making $50,000, $80,000, $100,000 that are working in those trades. The opportunity is absolutely endless right now, and the recruitment is just crazy. They just will hire every graduate. But the HVAC program you mentioned, or those jobs, that program sits at half capacity right now, and there's a guaranteed job for every single graduate at a very unbelievable wage. And so that, I believe, is not attributed necessarily to it, it just people don't know about it, they don't understand it, and they're off getting a four-year degree. Now, I don't want to put our four-year partners down. I think that there's absolutely a purpose. I think even our 4 years are looking at some of the degrees that they have and saying, what is the skill that comes of it? How is that measurable? But the technical college has always been held accountable to how applicable they are to a workforce. How do we represent the people in this region, the jobs that are in this region? And all of our processes are tied to how many of these what we need, how can we meet that? The struggle is we went for years aligning very easily, and now it's very difficult to meet the demand in virtually every program. And that's disheartening.
Kathleen, I wonder what your thoughts are on, what section of the workforce do we need to do a better job of engaging? Is it, you know, looking at, young people who are maybe just kind of figuring out what career path they want to head down? Or do we need to be maybe encouraging people to rethink their career path and maybe go back to school, go back to and get some additional training to fill these kind of open jobs?
Well, I think the short answer to that question is yes. And so we definitely want to be engaging young people and in early academic and career planning, exposure to businesses and different types of industries and to the opportunities that exist. And so one of the areas that DWD is working on now, we're partnering with the Department of Public Instruction to provide more labor market information and support for strong academic and career planning, even in the K-12 system. Access to labor market information, as I said, job projections, high demand industry forecasts, and other kinds of relevant data. So I think that helping expose young people, even before they graduate from high school, to what kinds of opportunities exist, the wages that can be gained, the educational requirements and lifelong learning kinds of requirements are very important. We also are looking to engage incumbent workers and individuals who are dislocated workers to develop new skills or enhance their existing skills so that they can remain competitive in today's workforce and, again, the changes that are brought about with the global economy and technology. And I also would mention Wisconsin's Registered Apprenticeship Program. It's absolutely an excellent program. It was established in Wisconsin over 100 years ago. It offers the opportunity for individuals to learn while they earn and to be able to help, again, address some of the gaps that we're seeing in the skilled trades especially. So in the apprenticeship program, you know, we provide a value-added training model for as many as 11,000 new and continuing apprentices and 2,500 employers nationally, and there have continued to be some investments in that area to expand apprenticeships and to build bridges between the youth apprenticeship and the registered apprenticeship programs. So I think, again, it's this multi-pronged approach. We need to look at the young folks coming into the workforce, incumbent workers, and then the other area that I haven't mentioned yet is to look at those who are not fully participating in the labor force or some of those untapped labor pools. And so that can include veterans, individuals who have who are former offenders, and that also includes individuals who are differently abled. And how do we further engage those folks and businesses to consider bringing those individuals into their workforce?
Vicki, from a local perspective, you know, what are your thoughts on, you know, what sections of the workforce do we need to be doing a better job of engaging and bringing into these jobs?
Sure. You know, I'm going to piggyback off the apprenticeship comment, though, because I have seen some businesses maximize that program in terms of it gives them engagement at the high school level, and some of them are hiring people right out of high school because they've tested them. They know what a good worker they are, and a lot of times it creates a great partnership. In terms of untapped markets, really the only one that came to mind that you didn't mention is teenagers. So part of the American dream is the parents have, not all, obviously, but families have a little more disposable income, and they go, you know, my son or daughter doesn't have to work necessarily. Let's let them go be triple sport athletes. Let them have fun because they can always work later on. We need to get more of our teenagers into the workforce and learning those soft skills that a lot of our employers are concerned about. Of they don't know how to answer the phone. They don't know how to be accountable. They don't know how to interact with people. And those are invaluable skills that are teenagers that are choosing not to participate in the workforce are losing. I hear from several businesses that say, I cannot believe how many 21-year-olds are applying for their first jobs with me, which was unheard of decades ago. And it's just as we talk about the American dream, that's part of it is saying, well, I can provide more for my children and therefore they don't necessarily need to go to work. And that, again, is a very big cultural shift that we as parents need to be having with our children as well.
Vicki Markison from the La Crosse Area Chamber of Commerce is here with us today to talk about a shortage of skilled labor in the state. She's joined by Kathleen Olson from the Department of Workforce Development and Roger Stanford from Western Technical College. Coming up, we'll talk about what government, business, and education leaders are doing to attract and retain skilled workers in the state and region. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about how businesses, technical colleges, and government programs are working to equip and retain skilled workers in the Cooley region and the state. A recent survey from business organization Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce found that 77% of surveyed business executives reported having trouble finding enough workers, and 44% said labor availability was their company's top concern. Joining us to talk about how the Cooley region can strengthen their workforce are Kathleen Olson, Western District Director for Wisconsin Job Services, program through the Department of Workforce Development, Vicki Markison, Executive Director of the La Crosse Area Chamber of Commerce, and Roger Stanford, the new president of Western Technical College here in La Crosse. And Roger, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about, you know, how Western Technical College is working to, you know, really address this issue of, you know, having a shortage of skilled labor in La Crosse. You know, what are some of the new things you guys are kind of beginning to do to tackle this issue?
Yeah, I think there's lots of great opportunity for us to continue. I will add the most recent one is there's a huge shortage in what we call electromechanical, but it's high-skilled maintenance in manufacturing, heavy electronics, and it's a very high-skilled job. It's a major skills gap. When you talk about the folks that are retiring and leaving the workforce, there's a huge group in this maintenance area that are 20, 30, and 40 years in the industry, and so the employers are, you know, reaching out and saying, what can you do, what can we do? Through what we call general-purpose revenue grants through the WTCS, the Wisconsin Technical College System, we were able to add an additional section. And that's just no easy feat in a very high-cost program that has lots of equipment. And those are the type of opportunities that, one, it helps add to our lab space, but it adds capacity. It adds another additional instructor, which we really needed, so we can go from, you know, producing 12 graduates to 24 graduates. And for our region in that particular area, that is a great outcome, a great opportunity. We've done similar work when there's general purpose revenue grants that have helped us add about 5 additional sections of medical assistant in the region over the last couple of years, which is a huge need across the medical area. Nurses we know is a shortage, and we struggle with clinical rotations. Medical assistants is that area that they're moving towards to try to fill their own worker needs, and then we've been able to step that particular one out. I think over the last 4 years, we've added a couple of 100 welders to the region. A big part of that is the Department of Labor grant. There was 4 rounds of them, but one of the larger impact ones for us was providing welders in our region. And welding is just a wonderful, I'll just say a staple employment opportunity in the La Crosse area. I just from the area I came from, we do so much more welding here, and it's such a critical part to many of the employers here. And so we were able to step up and produce and create. And, you know, I appreciate the Department of Labor's support inside of that. We wouldn't have been able to do it on our own. We have this year now, we're back to a normal level of about 30 people inside of the program, but we'd be poised to step that up again if we have to. So that's some of the ways that we try to fit and bring to certain employers.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought up welding, because I think it's a really interesting example of Western Technical College responding to the shortage and maybe helping to solve it in a way. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about kind of what happened and what you guys did to help kind of bring more welders to this area.
Yeah, you know, the bigger piece on top of it was the support of the community for Vision 2020. And that was a passing of an $80 million referendum. So that the two sides of a large referendum is to update and bring the right facility. So to create great welders or healthcare folks or building science people, you need the right physical locations, but you need up-to-date capital equipment, top-notch equipment, the best equipment. You need to try to mirror as close as you can to what industry provides. And we just had been through our normal processes. I will say we're dated. And when we've brought through now close to 100 manufacturers through our new manufacturing facilities, I mean, their eyes are just wide open to what Western is today and what we're doing to meet the employment needs today. So now specifically with welding, not only did we completely build a new welding facility, welding lab with a higher capacity, and we put in cutting-edge equipment on top of it that's just servicing. So we have machines that service 4 different kinds of critical welds in one machine. It's efficient for us, but it's mirroring what industry is moving towards. We've just ordered 2 robotic welding cells to get the next level. We just are adding an automation lab, which will add 6 Yaskawa robots, which is part of a partnership with Ashley, to provide a higher skill level of automation. So those are the type we have to match, not only the skill level of our employees, and being able to put the capacity of the programs, but the right equipment and access to that equipment, which is maybe the most expensive piece of that venture going into it, is it's not cheap equipment.
In what ways is you know, the process that you went through to address the shortage of welders, you know, are you able to maybe apply that to other needs? You mentioned in the first half of the show that HVAC is an area of need right now in our community. You know, how do we take what you guys did to solve the shortage of welders and maybe apply it to other areas?
Yeah. It's a complex problem, and I didn't come here to say we don't have enough money. We're very well supported, but all constituents of the programs that we have want more right now. All constituents, and so in a and it's a flat budget time. So for me to raise welding, I reduce what? What area? Do I go to the building systems and building science when construction is just booming? Do I go to the healthcare? So that's where our struggle is. So I am very grateful for the Department of Labor grants, the GPR revenue grants from our state system. I think there's opportunities coming forward now in apprenticeship. You were talking about apprenticeship. I think we could just grow it greatly. Right now I can't grow it in the current cost model that I have. But as soon as those opportunities, right, we have a full staff. Really, we've got two people that's their job is to write and look for grants. And they well pay for their salaries and the opportunities that they provide for us. And so we are writing four different grants right now, for example, just on K-12 to bring K-12 students into the workforce, and we'll have them across sectors. We'll have a healthcare one. We'll have an IT-focused one. We'll have a manufacturing-focused piece inside of there. And then we're still debating on the other one exactly, because that actually might be in public safety. But we're putting the grants together to try to get students thinking and give them pathways and credits along the process. So it's a little bit different than needing the equipment, where I would write grants to try to get that. Now it's to create the partnership so that a high school student is thinking about the job early and can earn credit while they're in school, and we can afford to offer those credits to them while they're in school so that when they get there, it's easier, it's less debt, but ultimately there's more graduates to serve the employers, to fill a lot of the programs that I have openings in already. So you've got, I'd like to add some programs where they're full, but I also like to make sure the ones are full in the areas that HVAC is a perfect example. Wonderful jobs, and we're running at half capacity.
Vicki, you know, what are local businesses doing to address the issue? You know, we've heard kind of technical colleges' response, but I wonder if you can talk about, you know, what we're seeing from the business community to kind of step up and address this worker shortage.
Yeah, so obviously we're seeing, as I mentioned earlier, the wages are increasing to try and attract people. But they have known for several years that they need to get into the high schools. They need to be influencing the choices that students are making. And so we're seeing more outreach by the businesses, a huge desire to connect with high school students. But the other piece that we're seeing at the Chamber has been an interesting development is development of their leadership coming up within their companies. So as I mentioned earlier, the baby boomers are retiring. You have the millennials who need to quickly step into leadership positions. And so businesses are heavily investing in their workforce to get them up to the levels that are needed to manage their businesses. And so we have seen our young professionals group grow exponentially. It's also a recruitment tool. So as a business is looking to recruit someone or even to elevate them within the company, they're investing in leadership programs and connection programs so that those individuals have a new skill set and also so that they can make connections to the community, because it's not just about growing what they do at your business. It's about growing those roots in the community, and especially with the millennials wanting to volunteer and be engaged beyond the work that they're doing, the businesses are starting to make connections with the community that there wasn't about 10 years ago.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about how Wisconsin government, business, and education leaders are working to address a shortage of skilled workers in the region and the state. We're here with Vicki Markison from the La Crosse Area Chamber of Commerce, Roger Stanford from Western Technical College, and Kathleen Olson from the Department of Workforce Development. And Vicki, I wonder if there are examples of businesses who, you know, have had success in addressing a shortage of workers, you know, to fill positions in their business and have kind of had success in their ventures.
Absolutely. I'm going to take you on a little side note here, but some of the innovation, when you asked me earlier, that the businesses are doing is they're starting to realize that by pooling together, they can do some new initiatives. So we're in discussions with businesses in terms of creating a concierge service so that as they have people looking to locate here, it's someone that can take them around the community and they can ask questions that the businesses can't. So they can say, Do you want to look at churches? Do you have children? And should we show you the amenities for children? And those are off-limit type of questions for HR companies. That's easy for a Chamber of Commerce to ask and to guide. And with our connections to the community, that's a great partnership. A relocation guide magazine technically is what our chamber is working on. So there's, to get to your question about branding, again, we can take multiple businesses and create some great programs and services when you have shared problems. I think our businesses that were employers of choice are realizing that they actually are seeing a dwindling pool of applicants, even being the employers of choice. And so we're seeing that community engagement beyond just HR. They're realizing, I'll say my husband works for Chart, and I can't tell you how many times people say, oh, you work for Charter. No, we work for Chart. And so it's an example of a business that used to have plenty of applicants coming, and now they are doing some branding pieces internal within our area and outside of our area to create some awareness of their company being a great employer.
Kathleen, you know, we've kind of heard the technical college side, we've heard the business side of, you know, how people are responding to the shortage of, you know, skilled workers. I wonder if you can give an overview of what the Department of Workforce Development is doing to address this issue.
Sure. The department's primary responsibilities certainly include providing job services, training, and employment assistance to people looking for work at the same time that we work with employers and finding the necessary workers to fill current job openings. We continue to provide foundational, high-value, effective programs and services that support workers and businesses to make sure that people are prepared and have, again, the foundational skills and opportunities that are necessary for success. We look out for best practices and innovative strategies to enhance or expand those services, and we've been partnering with others to leverage our expertise and theirs, as well as our relationships, to better meet the needs of workforce and business. During the last 4 years, the state of Wisconsin has invested over $200 million in workforce development, supporting important DWD initiatives like Registered and Youth Apprenticeship and with the Wisconsin Fast Forward Worker Training Grant Program. In the area of apprenticeship, the Department of Labor recently awarded $175 million for 46 American apprenticeship grants, including $5 million for the Wisconsin Apprenticeship Growth and Growth and Enhancement Strategies Project, or the WAGES Project. That five-year wages grant will train 1,000 new apprentices and upskill 542 incumbent workers by expanding existing programs in the sectors of advanced manufacturing, healthcare, and information technology. So that's huge. And then again, working on those bridges between youth apprenticeship, the apprenticeship programs that occur in the high schools, and registered apprenticeships. In that Wisconsin Fast Forward program that I mentioned earlier, to date, DWD has awarded over $20 million in Wisconsin Fast Forward grant contracts, supporting more than 200 worker training projects that are benefiting thousands of workers across the state. And a piece of that, too, is the Blueprint for Prosperity expansion, where the state has invested $35.4 million to reduce Wisconsin Technical College wait lists and support school-to-work programs, as well as initiatives to employ persons with disabilities. And then again, as I mentioned, we're also looking at ways to be innovative and to partner with getting former offenders back into the workforce and working on some innovative programs to help veterans be able to better transition the skills and the leadership experience they've gained during their military service into the workforce. Locally, I visited not too long ago Riverland Energy and also City Brewery and had the opportunity to talk with registered apprentices who are working through the programs in those businesses and with the business representatives themselves. And it's just an incredibly strong model to help not only recruit but retain a skilled workforce and to be able to make sure that those workers have the continuing skills that are needed, again, for businesses to grow. And Logistics Health is a local business that has been working hard to recruit veterans into their business, as well as utilizing a Wisconsin Fast Forward grant to expand the capacity of the folks that they have providing customer service in partnership with some training programs at Western Technical College. So those are a couple of more local examples of how apprenticeship and the Wisconsin Fast Forward grants are helping to address the needs of businesses and our workforce.
Kathleen, what happens if we can't address this problem or we don't do enough to address this worker shortage? You know, what does that mean for the economic future of the region and La Crosse, but also the state?
We need to ensure that we have strong communities and strong businesses, and that starts with family supporting wages and workers who have, again, the skills and opportunities to be able to secure and retain those jobs and to contribute to the local economies, and that businesses can continue to grow. If that doesn't happen, I suppose we could see a decline in some of our communities, especially in the rural areas, and see businesses potentially not able to grow and thrive within Wisconsin. So that's, a very significant challenge, and something that we're all working in partnership to address so that we don't ever have to know exactly what will happen if these problems aren't solved.
Vicki, very briefly, what are your thoughts on what happens if we don't address this issue?
I think what happens is a continuation of what I believe is happening, which is stifled growth. So our businesses aren't able to grow to the level that they want to because they can't find the labor. And some are saying, I will take anyone with a pulse. And others are saying, I'm not willing to compromise on what I'm looking for in employee, but we can't keep at this rate or we're not going to grow.
We've been talking with Vicki Markison, Executive Director of the La Crosse Area Chamber of Commerce, Kathleen Olson, Western District Director for Wisconsin Job Services, a program through the Department of Workforce Development, and Roger Stanford, the new president of Western Technical College here in La Crosse, about how businesses, technical colleges, and government programs are addressing a shortage of skilled workers in the Cooley region and the state. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.